Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanksgiving weekend football did not disappoint. Hi there, everybody. We're so glad you're with us today. A big special hello to all of our World Cup viewers. Welcome into Undisputed. I'm Jen Hale. That is Skip Bayless and a very happy Shannon Sharp. Hi, guys.
Let go, Bucks. Let go, suck a dig.
You know, I missed the Dallas Cowboys
suck
yesterday, didn't you?
What about the suck a dig?
What about them?
Yeah, I heard you say nothing about Tampa, Bray. It's Tampa.
They're a mess.
They're a mess.
I agree. Oh, they're a mess.
They're a mess
I'm
now.
I'm close to writing them completely off, but my Dallas Cowboys are right in the middle.
No. You didn't pick the Cowboys. Yeah. You picked Tampa Bay.
I picked the Cowboys to get to the NFC Championship game, and here we go.
You about to be wrong on both occasions.
Let's see. You picked the Rams to win the Super Bowl.
Hold on.
The Rams, are they still playing NFL football?
I thought we did a segment. You allowed me to switch my picks. You're not going to let me. You're going to keep bringing up who I picked originally.
Well, that's who I picked originally was the Buccaneers.
And I'm never flipped Skip.
All right, gentlemen.
I'm holding firm.
We're going to dive into all of this, but one topic at a time. Let's start with that Packers loss yesterday. Aaron Rodgers left the Packers game with a rib injury. Despite appearing to be in pain while on the field, Rodgers now says he's not ruling out next week against the Bears if he checks out just fine this week. He's scheduled for x-rays today. One Jordan Love coming in relief of Rodgers, who immediately led the Packers on a scoring drive. Shannon. Small sample size, but is it time the Packers move on from Aaron Rodgers?
Well, Skip, that's really difficult to say at this point in time right now. Aaron Rodgers is dealing with an injury. We don't know if it's a broken rib cartilage, but we know it's painful. I don't know if you've had one of those, Skip, but I had torn rib cartilage.
I've not had that. I've had everything else in the world, but I didn't have that.
You don't realize how much you use your torso. Try to breathe, like, damn, that hurt. Brushing your teeth, brushing your hair, putting on this. You can't get comfortable. It's hard for you to breathe. Any position, and it's painful. So imagine a quarterback, and all he does is this. Dak doing the hip thrust dance. But that's what quarterbacks do, Skip. They have to turn. They have to rotate in order to throw the football. So it got very, very painful, and you can see him grimacing on the sideline and just got too painful. It was reported that I think they showed a clip of it. When the staff was carrying out his suitcase, he couldn't, carry his. I'm surprised anybody doesn't have a roller anyway. But it didn't skip the hit that he got, that he seemed like he got crunched on. It didn't look that painful.
No.
But hey, sometimes the biggest hits don't look painful and you suffer injury from it.
Yeah.
Skip, here's the thing for me. Aaron Rodgers is a 4-time league MVP. He's one of the 5 best quarterbacks, I believe, to have ever played the game. Jordan Love looked good, Skip. I know it was mop-up duty last night, but I like the way he spun the ball.
So did I.
It's a lot easier to come in, Skip, doing mop-up duty. But he threw the ball off. He kind of looked like Aaron Rodgers, the way he was throwing the ball sidearm and just flicking the wrist, and the ball was just jumping out of his hands.
Agreed.
Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to give this thing up, Skip. He says he might be able to practice. I doubt he'll be able to practice because when I had mine, I just ended up shooting it up that Sunday and playing. Now, I'm not having to throw. And obviously, Skip, I didn't play every, I basically played passing downs. Couldn't do a whole lot of blocking. That wasn't my forte anyway. Mm. But you hear what he said. He said, I might be able, probably won't be able to practice, but I'm looking forward to playing on Sunday. Now, you talk about ownership. He owns the Bears. It doesn't matter if they're Green Bay, it doesn't matter if they're Soldier Field or wherever they play at, he owns the Bears.
I would correct that to Bears and Cowboys.
Bears and Cowboys. Okay, he has ownership stake in 2 of those franchises.
Mm-hmm.
Skip, the Packers are going to have to take a long, hard look. Do they have what do you think the chances are? If I'm the Packers, I'm looking at this. What are the chances? Let's just say for the sake of argument, Aaron Rodgers is able to play. Do you think we're actually going to run the table and make a playoff? Because I don't believe it's all lost. You're not catching Minnesota. They're not about to lose out and you win out. So that's done.
You are not catching Minnesota.
So that's done. So the best you can hope for is a wild card. It looks like there might be 3 teams coming out of the NFC East.
Just for the record, they're 4-8.
Yeah.
And the ESPN analytics give them a 2% chance of still making the playoffs.
So they got skim milk chance.
Yes.
Okay, it's time to go to Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. It's time to start for the future, Skip. We got an early start on the future. And I'm sorry, Aaron, but right now, It's a done deal here, Skip. I'm going to move on. I'm going to see what I have in Jordan Love. Well, you don't have no choice but to see because you stuck with him. You gave up heavy compensation to move up a couple of picks to get him. I think it's time now because I don't believe you're going to make the playoff this year. And what I've seen from Aaron Rodgers, there's no more relaxing. Skip, there's no way around it now. He's not going to be able to dig you out of this, and it's time for Jordan Love to get connection with these young receivers, these young backs. I thought they ran the ball fairly well last night. It was just a situation. They fell behind, did a great job of coming back, taking the lead, had an opportunity to take the lead at 21-20, yep. And Crosby shanked it, and they go 20-20, and then the Eagles tuck off from there. Yes, Skip, I believe so. I believe after what I've seen, considering where they are right now and dealing with Aaron Rodgers' injury, I think it's time for Jordan Love to be the starting quarterback, and I'm gonna start for my future, 12, 13 games into 2022 season.
I concur. It felt to me last night like Aaron Rodgers passed more than a football. It felt like he was passing the torch to young Jordan Love.
I give you that.
Who at moments looked a little bit like Michael Jordan Love, just a little bit here and there.
He can flick the ball, Skip.
He can flick it. All right, what do we know about Aaron Rodgers? I've said it many times. He is the all-time excuse-making, blame-deflecting finger pointer. That's what that organization has become worn out of.
Right.
He is the master media manipulator. That's what that organization has become worn out of. That organization is sick and tired of Aaron's vaccination controversies and his ayahuasca controversies, and it's always something with Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
But he is the back-to-back MVP of this league, and they are paying him $50 million this year, so it seems incomprehensible you would want to move on from that, right?
Yeah. You're going to have to make a decision here because Jordan Love is coming up shortly.
That is correct.
And you need to see what you have.
All right. So we saw some flashes of good old days Aaron Rodgers last night, and yet in the big picture, he looks like he's playing on fumes to me. He looks kind of weather beaten to me. His body looks a little frailer than it used to be to me. And in the end, you have to realize he's not Tom Brady. He's not going to shatter the mold at age 45 or age 46.
No, he's 38 now?
No, he's coming Friday. He's 39 years of age.
Yeah, he ain't playing another 6 years.
He's looking his age to me.
Yeah.
So I hark back to the beginning of the year. I believe from all I've been told, all I've heard, and all I'm just sort of interpreting from a distance, I think there was much sentiment in the upper offices in Green Bay, Wisconsin, to move on from Aaron Rodgers sooner than later. And I'm going to bring it up one more time. Our man Lil Wayne tweeted, I'm going back 3 games ago after the Detroit loss, that he said, RIP to the season. We should have gotten rid of 12 before the season.
Right.
Okay. Lil Wayne is the die-hardest Packer fan you will ever find. But he is very plugged in. He's close with the coaching staff and with some people in the front office and with definitely a bunch of people in that locker room.
Right.
He knows what of he speaks. So I keep harking back to that because that was significant to me that he would tweet that.
Right.
That I think the indications he got is that there were some indications from on high that they were angling toward getting rid of 12 already. They wanted to move on.
Well, you probably should have, Skip. Because he's been able to hold you hostage since he had that MVP.
Correct.
That first season when
he
took Jordan Love. So he won the MVP, and he's been holding you hostage ever since. So
because he capped off the two MVPs with what?
Losses.
At home.
At home.
He lost the NFC Championship game at home as the number one seed to Brady and the Bucks, and then he lost at home to the 49ers and Jimmy G as the number one seed.
Well, Skip, he's been hammering you over the head with the hammer. Now, Green Bay, you finally wrestled away from him.
Yeah.
The broken thumb and the rib injury. So now you've taken the weapon away from him. Now you should use it. Now, he says he wants to continue to play, Skip, as long as they're mathematically alive.
I got it.
Well, Skip, like I said, I don't believe they're going to run the table and have all these teams lose 5 or 6 games and somehow they sneak in as a wild card. You and I both agree. Minnesota is a lost cause. They're not catching Minnesota the division lead.
Okay.
So for me, wait a game, Skip. If I wait a game, what does that really do, Skip? Waiting a game to say, dude, to we're mathematically eliminated. What does that actually do? That doesn't help Jordan Love. I need to get Jordan Love meaningful reps.
You do.
Now, although it doesn't mean anything going forward as far as, you know, making the playoffs for us, but I want to see him in live competition because some of the teams that we're playing, they're trying to make the playoffs and trying to get positioned for the playoffs. Okay.
The schedule is fairly easy to close, so you can make a case, well, let's stick with Aaron just to see if we could catch fire and make miracles, right? They play the 20th easiest closing schedule because they're at Chicago, as you say, he owns the Bears. Right. Then there's the bye week, which comes at a pretty good time. And then they got the Rams on Monday night. The Rams aren't even a pro football team anymore. Then they go to Miami.
That's an L.
Yeah, that's the one L. But then they close with Minnesota and Detroit at home. Well, you can argue those would be L's anyway,
right,
one way or the other, because those two teams are playing one at a very high level and one at a shockingly higher level than we expected.
Detroit is definitely playing. Their offense is really legit.
Okay, it's really legit. So now back to that word legit, back to excuse making. When we talk about injuries, you and I go back and forth. I don't know. You make a great case about cracked ribs. Are they actually fractured? Are they bruised? Are they what? I don't know.
Or because, he has torn cartilage, rib cartilage.
Torn cartilage. I don't know. He went so far as to say after the game, I was having a hard time breathing and rotating my upper body, as you point out. But he said, I was worried about a punctured lung as well, so I wanted to get that checked out. Okay, now we're going real exaggeration over the edge because I'm not a doctor, but I'm pretty sure you can't puncture a lung without some kind of penetration. Like you need to get shot or stabbed or the needle that goes through as Tyrod had.
Or, Skip, you get a blow so hard, so severe. I didn't see a blow. Now, maybe, Skip, you going across the middle, full speed one way and the other guy comes in. Okay, that.
It's just hard to puncture it with a blunt force blow, right?
You got
to,
yes, I'm saying, you got to, that's a car crash. I mean, you got to really be hit. Right. But I didn't see that last night in the sack.
I didn't either. So, again, I'm not sure what to make. We've gone through the whole year. My thumb is this, my thumb is that. Then it's broken. And then last night you're saying, well, it's actually better than usual last night. Okay, so let's do the best and the worst first of Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Let's look at his two touchdown passes, which tease you into thinking, well, wait a second.
Maybe
he's still there.
Yep.
Maybe he's not getting old. If we could see the two throws for the touchdowns that actually kept them in the game and put them into a tie. That's the first one to Randall Cobb. And here is...
It's the same one to Randall Cobb
again. Yeah, here we go. To Randall Cobb. Nice. And then
this is to Aaron Jones.
This is to the unsung MVP, the other Aaron. And that little man can play some football.
Yeah. Yep.
Woo, he can play football. And this actually, to your point, tied the score because of the missed extra point. But off those two throws, you say, okay. But he weaved in a couple of first half interceptions, and that's the second time in 4 weeks because he did the two at Detroit in the first half. If we could see the two interceptions now. Because these make you stop and say, wait a second, he's just looking old and on fumes here. He scrambles and throws, whoops, bat popped up in the air and picked.
Yes.
Bad idea. And then.
This was a tremendous play by Blankenship.
And he is undrafted out of Middle Tennessee State.
He drove on this. It looked like they're like playing quarter half. The one in Blankenship.
Yep.
And he drives this ball. That's an unbelievable play for a rookie safety, Skip. People don't realize how good a play this is for a rookie.
By the way,
that's not Ed Reed. That is a rookie safety, ladies and gentlemen. And he drives this.
And he's thrust into the game because the starting safety is out.
Gardner Johnson, I think.
Okay. So that's the best and the worst we saw last night of Aaron Bleepin' Rodgers. Now let's look at Jordan Love, because for those who didn't stay up late enough to see this whole thing, I'm going to show you all nine of his throws. How many did he complete? I think he completed 7 out of 9, or is it 6 out of 9? 6 out of 9. Okay, mm-hmm. 6 out of 9 for 113 yards. Let's just see him in order just to show people what was on display. First throw, just a little flick into the flat to Corey Dillon.
Whew, A.J. Dillon.
A.J. Dillon. Boy, did he not. He brought the wood on that one. Then a quick out. That had some mustard on it. And then here's the one to Christian Watson.
Like you said, that's a terrible angle, but you got to understand who you're dealing with.
You're
out running leverage now. You got to get leverage.
Okay, that's the 63-yard touchdown. That was sweet right there. And here's an out throw with also a lot of pop on it. A lot of pop not caught.
That
could have been caught.
Yeah. Look at that.
Pretty good. Just flicked it like Aaron Rodgers would flick it, right? Okay. and a little scramble. This is the one I wished he had completed, but it's a little underthrown. Just a little. He had Lazard underneath also. And then here's another one to Tanyan. And then one more to the end zone, I believe. Back inside. It was a little behind.
Yeah.
But again, you could see the talent on display.
Yeah.
Are we up to his third year? Now?
Third.
Yeah, we're up to his third year. And we got to see him start a game last year, and it was not a pretty sight.
Yeah.
It took Aaron Rodgers 3 years sitting behind Brett Favre until he finally started to get a hold of it. And when he got his shot, he was ready to seize control of that job. And he did.
And they saw enough, Skip, I think it was like in November 2007, that he filled in for injured Brett. Brett got injured, and he came off the bench. And you saw signs. You're like, damn, okay. This dude can really spin it.
Yeah, I believe that was a Sunday night game.
I think it was.
Dallas,
I think it was a Sunday night.
Against Green Bay.
Yeah.
And you saw what you saw.
Yes.
And that's what I saw from Jordan Love. I was highly impressed with that young man. I liked his poise. I saw even more arm talent on display than I had seen before.
I agree. I definitely agree.
If I'm running the Packers today, I'm sitting back thinking, you know what? That kid's got a chance to be pretty good.
And I think the thing is, from last year to this year, Skip, he looked like a guy that was unsure. You're like, brother, you actually know what's going on because you watch him in Kansas City, and then you watch him come in this moment. Maybe he's more relaxed now. And plus, Skip, a year of experience. Like I said, Aaron sat for 3 years. This will be his third year sitting. And this is, Skip, we're trying to give quarterbacks that we know about long-term deals. Herbert's about to get a long-term deal. Joe Burrow's about to get a long-term deal.
Yep.
Tua about to get a long-term deal after year three. So he's going into year four, Skip. We got to find out sooner or later, because you're going to have to pay him a boatload of money, or you're going to have to move on and start from scratch again, because Aaron Rodgers is not going another 2-3 years in Green Bay. That's not going to happen. So you need to make sure we got our guy, we're comfortable with our guy, now let's build around it.
If I ran the Packers, I would tell Aaron, thank you, but no thank you.
Yeah.
We're going to shut you down for the season, and we can do it however you want to do it, but we'll tell people you're awfully beat up and you just need to just take the rest of the year off.
You know what he's going to do. He's going to go right on Pat McAfee's show and go all the laundry and talk about they don't want me to play. They want to look at the kid. I'm ready to play. I think we can still make a run at it. He's going to make a big – that's not how he operates, Skip.
He has buried them in dirty laundry for years.
Well, that's okay.
When they least expect it, he just dumps all over them.
Well, I got tired. I'm going to clean this laundry up, but you get up out of here, bro.
Yep.
It's time to move on, Skip.
I agree.
Skip, here's the thing, and I told you this at the beginning of the year, Skip. When I started to get older, I could get you 100 yards a game, but it came with less frequency. And you see with Aaron Rodgers.
That's exactly what's happening.
He looked like Aaron Rodgers, but it's with less frequency.
Yeah.
Same thing with the guy in Tampa. He can be Tom, but not with the frequency that we expect him to be Tom, or we expect him to be Aaron.
We'll get into that in just a few minutes here, on what's happened to Tom Brady. But the point is that on Aaron Rodgers, remember, this is the what are we up to now on interceptions?
It's, I think it's nine.
Nine. And that's the most he's thrown in a season since 2010 when he had 11. So he's not an interception thrower until now.
Right.
That's been his hallmark, his claim to fame. His calling card is, I don't throw it to the other team. And this year he has started frighteningly throwing it to the other team.
Skip, it's time to move on.
6 of 9 for 113 yards, gentlemen. Jordan Love certainly made a statement. He's getting a ton of social media love, that's for sure. All right, guys, Jalen Hurts, he put up over 300 total yards yesterday in that 40-33 win over the Packers. Hurts also tossed a pair of touchdowns in the win. Excellent day for him. Shannon, has Jalen Hurts taken the MVP lead now over your boy, Patrick Mahomes?
No. Hurts is having a phenomenal season, Skip. But right now, Patrick Mahomes is the MVP. He has 6 games to go. I feel very comfortable because he's averaging 326 yards passing a game that he's going to break the 5,000 mark plateau. He has 29 touchdowns, so he has 6 games. He needs to throw 11 in order to reach 40. So you're looking at a guy that's going to probably, without anything drastic happen, is going to be 5,040, and it looks like they're going to be headed towards the number one seed in the AFC. He's leading the league in passing touchdowns. Hurts is ninth with 17. Mahomes has 29. Mahomes is 1,000 yards passing ahead of Jalen Hurts. Hurts averages 233 passing. Mahomes averaged 326. Mahomes is second in QBR. Tua leads with 82. And Hurts is fourth with 68. And this is not a knock on him, Skip. He's playing phenomenal. He's playing unbelievable football. But right now, Patrick Mahomes is the MVP, and I still believe it's his award to lose. Jalen Hurts ran for 157 last night. Skip, he threw for 153 yards. In today's game, he threw for 153 yards. They ran the ball. This looked like Nebraska and Oklahoma in the 80s, 70s, 80s, and early 90s, Skip, running for 363 in an NFL game. I can't say that I've seen a whole lot of those games in my lifetime, a team run the ball like they ran the ball last night. Jalen Hurts, he's clearly playing the best quarterback in the NFC, followed closely by Geno Smith. But that's not good enough to be the MVP, Skip, because if it was just about winning, you take the quarterback from the winningest team. Tom Brady should have 15, because if it was just about winning, nobody has won more than Tom, and he only has 3. But then again, it goes back, you got to have stats to back up the winning. And Patrick Mahomes has the stats to back up the winning. So for me right now, I would say Patrick Mahomes. I would go Jalen Hurts 2. I would go Tua 3. But Tua is coming. Mm. With that offense, he is coming in a hurry.
Mm. So if we want to make this just about stats, you got me. But I have had Jalen Hurts as the MVP for a month, sitting right here in this seat on this show. And I believe he is actually expanding his lead, as far as I see it, in MVP, because the number that I care the most about is 10-1 for the Philadelphia Eagles. And the takeaway from Jalen Hurts is he has changed an entire culture. He did what Brady did in the pandemic year in Tampa Bay, turned it into Tampa Bay. And yet Jalen Hurts has turned the Eagles back into a winning franchise because he is the leader. He is the playmaker. He is the driving force of that team from top to bottom. And he deserves credit for how he has turned the whole show around, built all around him and resting upon his shoulders. And by the way, he does lead all quarterbacks with 8 rush TDs. So you got to give him credit for that. And he's 17 touchdown passes to only 3 interceptions. So he doesn't turn the ball over. They don't turn the ball over. They are running away with the turnover ratio stat, which is the telltale stat of all. And in the end, he runs that offense so efficiently, so proficiently, that it's become just as much a force as Mahomes' offense has had, pass happy, because it's a statistical juggernaut led by Andy Reid, who lets Patrick Mahomes get away with near murder at quarterback by trying just about anything. It's fun to watch. It pads the stats. It builds stats. But in the end, you have to look at who is making the plays at the moments. Well, it's Jalen Hurts, because the one loss they had, even you agreed when we came out here after they had lost to Washington, that it wasn't Jalen Hurts' fault, because there were 3 plays in that game where Jalen Hurts completed a pass to Goddard and he got face masked. Remember that?
Yeah.
So that should have been turned over and been going the other way. And remember the Quez Watkins throw? I don't know what he did. He decided he had to drop to the ground to catch it when he should have just run right through it for a touchdown. So my point is, he made the plays that should have beaten Washington, but they got bad breaks and they didn't capitalize on his throws, because his throws have been deadly accurate all year. I've never seen a quarterback improve more throwing the football than Jalen Hurts has this year. Mm-hmm. All of which adds up to he has done a lot more for his team than Patrick has done for his team.
But you understand now, they took one of the best offensive weapons away, and he's doing more with less now. They've added a weapon, and you keep saying the one loss, 10-1. You make it seem like 9-2 is something to sneeze at. He just happened to be the number one seed in the AFC, just like Jalen is 10-1 is the number one seed in the NFC. Mm. But, Skip, like I said, at some point in time, it's not – winning. Winning is the most important thing, winning. But it's not like Patrick Mahomes is 5-6. It's not like he's 6-5. He's 9-2. And look at what he's doing. They can't run the ball. They can't run to that. I mean, Pacheco, 22 rushes, 60-something yards. Can I interest you in that? 22 for 69. Is that good?
They just don't even really care about
Skip, they do. Skip, they can't. Look, I have to do what is the best interest. They don't ask Jalen Hurts to just drop back and throw the ball 40 times, because when they did, they got in trouble doing that. That's how they lost. When they can run the ball more than they throw it, they're hard. They're going to be very, very hard to beat, because he's an extra running back that throws the ball great. Okay. So when you look at it, Skip, again, 17 for $157, you're not counting on a quarterback to get you that kind of yard. They probably went to the game where Jalen probably get them 60, 70 yards. but he gives you 157. And then the running back gives you 143. That's okay. 300 yards between two players.
Playmaking, plays that need to be made, get made. And yet, look what happened at the end of the two losses that they had. If we could see what happened, this is week three at Indianapolis. They have a chance to at least tie the game. It's 20-17 Indy at the end of the game. We're still seeing Jalen Hurts. Here's the end of the game, and Patrick throws it up, and it gets tipped up into an interception. And all you need to do is complete. You see where the field goal line is. If that ball gets completed, you tie the game.
I mean, that's Stephon Gilmore. He made a great play.
Okay.
I mean, we're not going to give him the credit for making a great play. It's a great play.
I'm not going to give Patrick credit for that game because, again, you put up numbers, and they pad your stats. But in the end, you had one play to make. I'm not finished yet. Let me finish. Okay, so – that's the first one. Now, let's look at the Buffalo game because there are two plays in the Buffalo game that they lost at home, 24-20. The first one comes third and goal at the 9. This is 3:28 left in the first quarter. And Patrick rolls out, and this is vintage, classic, bad Patrick Mahomes where he just flings it up to nobody and it gets picked in the end zone. You just cannot do this and hope to win, and that's the last throw of the game. When you do have a chance, there's still 56 seconds left. You could pull a Brady. Mm-hmm. You could drive him down, which he's done several times in his career also, and he throws it to Buffalo with a careless sidearm fling that went nowhere.
Okay.
So you blew two games at the end of games with game-ending interceptions, and then if we could see just the one yesterday, these kind of plays disqualify him, in my eyes, from being an MVP because he just can try anything. If we could see the interception he threw into the end zone yesterday, it's just horrendous. Yeah, what is that? What are you doing? I don't know. This is against a really bad football team, a really bad defense, and he throws it to the wrong team in the end zone. They went 1 of 6 yesterday in the red zone, in large part because he was pretty bad in the red zone.
Well, they had a touchdown, and it got called back because the guard was downfield. I don't know what he was thinking on that play. But, see, you told about the game-ending interceptions, but what about the game-winning drive he had against the Raiders?
He did.
Or the two against the Chargers?
Okay.
Or the one against the Titans?
All right. How about Jalen Hurts has made all those plays all year long? Every time they needed Jalen Hurts to make a play, he just makes a play. You can't show me bad Jalen Hurts because there's none to show.
Skip, there has been bad Jalen Hurts. There have been. There have been games in which he, if you throw the ball for 100 yards and you win, Skip, that's not the same. I mean, winning is the overriding factor. But if you look at what's being done and you keep saying, well, Andy had Donovan. And never was Philadelphia the preseason number one pick to win the Super Bowl. He had Alex Smith. And never. So if it was that easy, if it was all just Andy play calling, why in the hell didn't Donovan win the MVP? Why didn't Alex Smith win the MVP? Why is Patrick Mahomes at the beginning, he's either first or second in MVP odds if it was just Andy's play calling?
Okay, I'll give you that. But in the end, you have to live up to that billing.
He hasn't? And,
well, he lost two games with game-ending interceptions.
Yeah.
You're disqualified.
I'm glad.
Over and out.
Like I said, what does Vegas say? You like to take Vegas. What are the odds?
I got you. But if we're just doing stats, those are the odds.
Skip,
you got me.
Skip, the man is 9-2. Stop pretending like he's 3-6. Okay. He's 9-2.
Okay, now we got to pick nits here because it's coming down to the wire between these two.
Okay.
And I'm with you. Two is in there somewhere because he just keeps getting better and better. And I don't know how because neither of us have liked him in the past. So here we go.
I liked him, but they didn't tell me they're going to go get Tyreek because Tyreek has changed the life in there.
All right. So the point is Jalen just keeps on keeping on making little big plays, and yet they're not going to pile up stats because last year they led the league in rushing. They're up near the top now.
Right.
And the point is they do it upside down from the way Patrick does it because they're not going to throw for 1 million yards. They're just going to win 10 games out of 11.
But, Skip, no, you got to do it with your quarterback. Patrick Mahomes is a better thrower of the football. So, obviously, you build the offense around what he does well.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts is a better runner. So, clearly, you build the offense around what he does, his legs.
How much credit does Jalen Hurts get for changing the culture in Philadelphia? It's Nick Sirianni as the head coach, and he's making Nick Sirianni look like Bill Belichick, right?
So how much credit does Patrick Mahomes get for changing the culture in Kansas City?
Okay, but again, that was Andy's team when he got there. Andy was the driving force.
So you believe if Andy had any other quarterback other than Patrick Mahomes?
But Andy's had a whole lot of success in this league pre-Patrick
Not like
Mahomes.
This success.
Well, he's, I don't know.
Not like this.
Good. Well,
not like this.
Got to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he didn't win. He won. Okay. And he got the back-to-back Super Bowls. He had Alex Smith, and he never got this far.
Okay.
He had to, Skip, the consistency in which this guy – look at the numbers.
Okay.
The numbers every year is 4,000-plus yards, 4,500 yards.
Okay, we're not talking about career achievement. We're talking about this year.
Okay.
Who's had the better year? Who's done more for his team?
Skip.
It's clearly Jalen Hurts.
3,600 yards, 29 touchdowns on a 9-2 team.
Mm-hmm.
You make it seem like – Skip, again, you keep saying wins matter. Skip, the man has won one more game.
Okay, but he lost two games by his own hand.
Skip.
He threw game-ending interceptions,
Skip, the
right?
The fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter, Skip. He lost.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Hurts has lost a game. Stop pretending like they're undefeated. And even if they were undefeated,
okay.
They still is not having a better season than Patrick
okay.
Mahomes.
But even you came out and said that the loss was not Jalen Hurts' fault.
Skip, he's the quarterback. It happens. It happens. I mean, think about how many interceptions that Patrick Mahomes has that has hit the receiver's hands and carry them into the defender's hand.
Mm.
But it still goes as an interception on Patrick Mahomes' resume.
Okay.
I'm not trying to discredit because I think Jalen Hurts is having an unbelievable season. He's thrown the ball, and you see what happens. That should be a lesson. Chicago, go get Justin Fields some help. You see what happened with when Buffalo went and got Stephon Diggs? Look at Josh Allen completion percentage. You see what happened with Jalen Hurts when they get A.J. Brown? Look at his completion percentage. Okay, Chicago, you on notice. Go get your young quarterback and receiver and let him do work.
By the way, I got one last thing for you. I think we have this play, but last night, late in the game, when Jalen Hurts needs to, he can go Mahomes. He is capable of Mahomesing. if we could see
the
long scramble, this is the long reverse scramble, and he throws it up to Quez Watkins. Tell me this isn't a great throw. Tell me this isn't a great throw. That's catchable. That was catchable.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to be able to hold his head. I mean, he's trying.
Look at that. Look at that.
He's trying to stay in bounds.
I don't know. I think it was catchable.
Yeah, but is it going to be in bounds when he catches it?
I don't know.
Because
what's
going to shove him? He does a great job of shoving
it. It looks pretty good.
No, he ain't going to stay in bounds.
I don't know. But he hit him right in the hands with the Mahomes-type pass.
Yeah.
He's highly capable. He just doesn't try to do those things because he's a coach's son. He played for Saban.
Right.
And highly, you know, arch-conservative offense. So he knows how to run an offense. But I saw him at Oklahoma when they opened it up with stinking Lincoln just throwing it all over
the
lot.
Yeah, but they don't play defense.
He can do that.
They don't play defense in the Big 12. You know that. That's why all the games are 42-30.
Unfortunately, USC doesn't play any defense.
Whoa! No, what are you worried about Stegen Langer? Stegen Langer got a mistake out here.
Yeah.
That's what that smell is?
Yeah.
I thought it was the pollution. That's on Stegen Langer. Got USC stinking it up.
Yeah. Boy, he's
don't do that. Don't do that, Skip.
He stunk it up at Utah, didn't he? And now guess who he gets to play?
Whoa.
Wait, he scored 42 at Utah, and they scored 43?
Skip, guess what?
Yikes.
You're going to miss those one-loss teams.
Yep.
You're going to miss those two lost teams.
Mm.
You What would you give to have one of those right now instead of that six lost team you got? Y'all going to a bowl game?
All I know is Jim Harbaugh now owns college football.
Whatever. Don't do that, Skip. No. Let's talk about Brent Venable. I got a guy that coaches defense. He knows defense.
Well, stinking Lincoln left the cupboard bare.
We don't
have anybody who can play
defense. Caleb Williams.
Yeah. Well, he was – what did I tell you last year? I kept coming out here saying, Caleb Williams is the best player in college football, and you laughed at me.
Bryce Young.
And now he is.
Bryce Young. You see Bryce Young doing?
No.
Bryce Young will be number one pick in the draft.
Yeah. How many have they lost? Two, three, four?
Last player of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Last player. And think about it. People talk about the dynasty is dead, and they lost two games on walk-offs.
Mm. The dynasty is dead.
Don't do that, Skip.
Well, they're out.
No. Didn't I tell you?
Yeah.
What happened this week? What happened this week? I told you, you counting Alabama out. I said, they're right there lurking.
Dude, do you want to bet that they'll be in it?
Clemson lost.
Yeah.
Who else lost? LSU lost.
Okay, you want to bet? I'll bet you 10 cases. I'll bet you 100 cases Alabama doesn't make it.
They're going to make it.
They are?
Yeah, they're going to make it.
Let's make a bet.
I bet you they'll be in front of Ohio State. I bet they'll be five.
Well, so what? They're not going to make the four.
All we need is one team to lose.
Okay, well, are they going to make it to the four?
Yes.
No.
Yes. You don't want that to happen.
Will you bet one case on it?
The Alabama Invitational.
Cases?
How you going to have an Invitational and the whole team isn't there?
You're done.
We're not done, Skip.
Sorry.
We're not done yet.
I can't talk about LSU.
Oh, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, Jen. You ought to be ashamed.
It's
LSU.
It's very painful, Shannon.
Extremely
painful. I almost called in sick today. That close. Hey, Jalen Hurts, real quick, guys. Over 100 rushing yards in that first quarter. He's the first quarterback in over 30 years to do that.
Wow.
All right. How will yesterday's incident for Odell Beckham Jr. impact his future?
Lord.
Oh, have you not seen it? We're going to show it to you. That's next on Undisputed.
Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Odell Beckham Jr. removed from a flight from Miami to Los Angeles yesterday. According to the Miami-Dade Police Department, OBJ was, quote, in and out of consciousness, and the flight crew feared he was seriously ill. Odell's attorney says the free agent wide receiver had been sleeping, and the incident only occurred because of a, quote, overzealous flight attendant. Shannon, how concerned should teams be, those who are thinking about signing Odell?
I don't think this is an issue at all. I really don't, Skip. I think it's a situation that was a big misunderstanding. I think anybody that Odell is coming from Miami and coming back to L.A. So probably in all likelihood, Odell had been out all night partying and said, you know what? I got a 5-hour, 6-hour flight. I'll just sleep on the plane. Gets to the plane. Hey, gets in his seat, forgets to fasten his seatbelt, puts the blanket over his head. He's knocked out. Now, for me, Skip, what I don't understand. Now, every time I see somebody getting off the plane, I see footage of what transpired on the plane. I got no footage yet. Now, maybe somebody's waiting to sell it and looking for a TMZ or somebody they can sell their footage to online, and we're going to see, because I want to see. Now, you didn't try to wake him up when you were at the tarmac, but you come back to the gate to wake him up. You're having a conversation, so you woke him up at some point, so how the hell did you get him up?
But you ask him repeatedly, I'm sure, to fasten your seatbelt, please, right?
But I'm saying... You, like I said, I mean, they want to wake you up, Skip. I've been on flights, and they woke me up, and they almost had to turn the flight around because you woke me up from a dead sleep. That was the last time I slept on a plane. And they asked me, Mr. Sharp, would you want dinner? I'm like, y'all ain't got Mastro's on here. Y'all ain't got Catch. And you asked me, do I want this bull job? Mm-hmm. I said, ma'am, don't wake me up again.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
Been there, done that. Many, Skip, many, many times.
One of the reasons why I don't sleep, because I know how I am. I'm angry when I wake up. And if somebody, and I don't sleep well to begin with. So if you wake me up and I'm getting a little decent sleep, because I sleep in like 2-hour increments. Sleep 2 hours and I'm up for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So go back to sleep, I'm up for an hour. So if I'm asleep and you wake me up, it better be a good reason.
Mm.
And so I just think the thing was, Skip, is that he had been out in Miami, probably like most 28, 20 to 30 year olds, partying. Like, I got a long flight. That's what I would do in Vegas. I would stay out all night. I would go back to the hotel, get my bags, 6 o'clock in the morning because I'm on an early flight. Boom, I'm headed back to Atlanta. And so that's probably what happened with Odell.
Knowing you, I'll bet you fastened your seatbelt.
I always try to do that because they're going to come around and wake you up.
They're going to.
And I make sure I'm sitting straight up because for some reason they're like, Mr. Sharp, the plane can't take off if you're reclining in your seat.
Okay,
and
but the plane can't those are the rules.
I'm like, well, damn, the plane seemed to be just fine. But you can take the seatbelt off once you get up in there and the plane flies just fine. But that's not here nor there. You're right. Those are the rules. I'm cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
Aviation said, this is what you have to do.
Yeah.
You have to do it. So, Skip, I just think this was a misunderstanding. Odell fell asleep, and he's probably in a deep sleep, and they got him back, and when he wakes up, he's looking around like, well, damn, why all these people? What y'all want? And so, you know, hey, he got off the plane, no harm, no foul, lesson learned. If I could tell him anything, if you're going to do this in the future, go ahead and buckle up. Lead the seat right in the full and upright locked position.
Yep.
So therefore, they don't come around with no bull jive. Because sometimes, Skip, they'd be on a power trip.
No doubt.
They'd be on a power trip
sometimes. Especially
sometime.
If you get the wrong person at the wrong time.
I've had that. Yep.
Okay. I hear everything you just said. My first thought, in all honesty, as a lifelong diehard Dallas Cowboy fan was a sarcastic thought. Oh, well, Odell's going to fit right in with us, right?
I knew you was going to say that.
Because this is like child's play compared to what we've had in our past, right? We have a long, controversial history of incidents that range from X to Y to Z. You know what they are.
You want to start with the 70s that come forward?
Yeah, start with the 60s.
Okay, the 60s. I don't remember the 60s, but I remember all the stuff in the 70s.
Remember North Dallas 40, the movie? That's all about the 60s. It was something. Okay, so that was my sarcastic thought. Then I started thinking about, okay, what exactly happened here? And to your point, probably out all night, came in. I don't know if he takes any sleeping aids.
Sometimes people take Benadryl, or they take Ambien, or things like that.
Whatever you take. If you take Ambien, then you could be knocked out.
Right, right.
And I know it. I know what the feeling is. And if you get knocked out, you're not going to wake up for the seatbelt.
No.
Okay? And if you put the blanket up over you.
Right.
Okay. And then somebody might have overreacted among the flight crew.
Right.
Uh-oh, is he seriously ill?
Right.
Well, obviously, the problem is it's not an hour flight. It's a five-hour flight.
Yes.
And so I understand that the crew and the captain would finally say, well, we can't fly for 5 hours if he's got something going on, because it might escalate into something where we have to have an emergency landing somewhere.
Correct.
So they said, let's just take care of it now.
Right.
So they called the police, who have to come on to get him off the plane. And by the way, he tweeted a bunch about it after when he got back out onto the concourse, and they didn't arrest him, or they didn't detain him.
Issue no citation,
nothing that happened. But he did tweet about how it was comedy hour. Mm-hmm. And I see that one of his fellow passengers tweeted back at him, forcing us off the plane because you were unresponsive and unruly is not comedy to the hundreds of folks trying to get home, dude.
Right.
Not cool, man. And I'm sure if you had been a fellow passenger, you would not have appreciated what happened.
Right.
Whether it's all Odell's fault or a 50-50 between Odell and the flight attendant who got sideways on
this. Mm-hmm.
But the point is, what have I told you from the start about Gerald Wayne Jones Jr.? His calling card, his hallmark, his claim to fame is, we build from within.
Right.
I run the draft. I have final say over every draft pick, especially the first and second rounders.
Right.
And I want that to be the mantra of my team. We draft championships. That's what Jerry wants to be able to show, because basically that's what they did in the 90s, even though he did have to pay the freight for neon Deion Sanders. And you know what happened? It changed life between San Francisco and Dallas.
Correct.
So the point is, I still think he's looking for an excuse not to sign Odell, because suddenly my team is 8-3. And in the second half, especially on Thanksgiving afternoon or early evening, mm-hmm. we looked pretty dominant.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he's thinking, well, I drafted CD and I drafted Gallup, and the kid tight ends that he drafted, they're starting to rise and shine a little bit. I'm sure he still expects Jalen Tolbert to contribute somewhere as the third-round pick. And I can just see Jerry sitting back, stroking his chin, saying, okay, I don't love this, and use it as his excuse not to pursue Odell. I don't know that for a fact, but I think he's been looking for an excuse, because all's well that ends well in Jerry's head, because it's, you know, why mess up a good thing?
Right.
If it ain't broke, don't try to fix it with Odell. When I've been saying, no, you need Odell, not even for his productivity. You just need his aura, his mystique. He was the catalyst for a Rams Super Bowl victory last year, even though he didn't get to finish. He had two early catches in that game, caught the first touchdown pass in that game. And the Cowboy locker room would view him as the catalyst for their Super Bowl run.
Right.
So if you go get him, and you can get him to take a little bit of an America's Team discount, I have no idea if Odell is open to that, but this stage would be great for Odell as well as great for Dallas.
Yes.
But the point is that you don't need huge productivity, because you're fine with CD and Gallup. If he could become your 1A receiver, or even your number two, heck, even if he contributed as a number three, that would be cool with me.
Right.
But what is even cooler, which is like Super Bowl cool, is we got Odell and you don't. We won the sweepstakes.
Right.
That's what you need him for, is to send the message to the locker room, we're serious about this. Let's go. Here, we're going to go places with Odell.
Well, Skip, I still believe that there are other teams out there that would like to have Odell services. Baltimore could still use a receiver. Kansas City could use a receiver. There are other teams. We just hear about these teams because, okay, the Cowboys, obviously the Cowboys are the Cowboys.
And obviously the Giants are in the
Giants, because that's where it all started for him. I think Buffalo is still in the mix.
Could be.
But at the end of the day, if I could tell Odell anything, you OBJ, and you're always going to be him.
Absolutely.
So anytime you're in the public eye, someone in the grocery line, someone in the CVS, or wherever the case may be, let this be a lesson learned. You weren't detained. You weren't harmed.
Nope.
Just moving forward when you fly, You're going to go to sleep. Go ahead and do that first. Leave the seat right. I know those seats are uncomfortable. They're not made for us to be sitting up like this.
I agree.
I get it.
You know, my first surprise was that he wasn't flying private because it just seems like he is somebody made to fly private.
I be seeing them people be flying on IG. I'm like, y'all got bread like that? I need to come up. I need me a second to get me a second or third job.
If you do fly private.
Man, that thing is expensive, Skip.
Okay, I know what it is, but the point is that they don't make you do anything. You can lie down, you can lie in the floor.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to put your seatbelt on.
But here's the thing, plus, Skip, when you fly with a team, they don't make you do anything
I've flown on many of those.
So,
and there's
you know,
no,
we,
nobody
we,
buckles
we,
their
we stand it up. We ain't nobody. We lay
you
down.
Just
we
go.
Yeah.
I got it.
So,
I got it.
But you have to understand. Bloop, flip the switch. Oh, now I'm just I'm regular OBJ. I'm regular OBJ. I'm not OBJ with the team. I'm not OBJ on a PJ. So, Skip, like I said.
I mean, this incident was completely avoidable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just so easy. You know there are going to be certain rules when you walk aboard that plane.
Yes.
You got to keep your seat up, which I assume is seat
is
up.
Yeah, Skip, look, the flight, I mean, sometimes they're having bad days, too.
Yep.
I mean, they can't always. I mean, they fly and they here, there, and the flight got two or three stops in a day, and they fly. They're not going to always be on top of their game, just like you not going to. I mean, sometimes I'm not having I'm having a bad day. Mm-hmm. And you got to, like, damn, you know what, hey. Chalk it up, it just happened. So, look.
And did they know who he was? And they wanted to sort of, they thought he was being a diva. We'll show this diva.
I'm sure they, you know.
We'll call the police on this diva.
They look up at that thing and like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
They know, thank you, Mr. Sharp, for being a diamond medallion, a million mile, and all that other stuff. So they have a good indication of who you are. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I think you're right. This incident could have been avoided. Let this be a lesson learned, Odell. Get on the plane, fat buckle your seatbelt. Leave it up, and as soon as it try to lay down to a lay down in a bed mode if you have to.
Jerry, let it go. Just ignore it. It's okay.
Jerry ain't gonna sign it.
Okay.
Well, Odell set to fly again next week, gentlemen, when he supposedly visits the Giants, Bills, and Cowboys. Perhaps he'll be taking a different airline. All right, one of Tom Brady's 218 game streaks just ended. We'll explain. It's not pretty for Tom Brady, but that is next on Undisputed. Team USA continues their World Cup campaign tomorrow, 1 Eastern on Fox. After back-to-back draws, the U.S. now must get a win against Iran to advance out of the group stage. Don't miss it. It's USA versus Iran tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern, only on Fox. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers came up short against the Cleveland Browns 23-17 in OT. Now, until yesterday, get this stat. Brady had a record of 218-0 while leading by a touchdown or more with under 2 minutes left in the fourth. In OT, Brady, 5-for-10, 37 yards, ouch, never got past his own 43-yard line, Shannon. On a scale of 1 to 10, just how bad of a loss was this for the Bucs and Brady?
It was a zero. Why should it be bad? They lost five games before that. So what's the difference in the six? The only thing people want to say it's bad because they say, here come the big bad Bucs and Brady. I remember we did a topic about, Brady, the NFC should be on a lark. For the Buccaneers and Tom Brady.
Well, they'd won two straight games with a bye week, right?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And how did they win those games, Skip? Mm. Did they score 30?
Brady led them on two straight drives to win the game against the Rams, and Scotty Miller dropped the first one, and he went right down
but
and did it again.
You just told me the Rams are not even a pro football team.
Okay, but that was the end of the Rams as we knew
they've been done.
Them, right?
They've been done. Okay, and then they beat Seattle.
It was pretty impressive because the Seahawks were riding high at that point over in Munich, right?
The problem is they can't score offensively. Now, they're going to dress this up. Now, and I've already saw what they had on NFL.com and some of the other publications of what they're already saying. And this is the problem that I have. And this is why I come out so hard the other way. Mm. They're already starting to blame the Buccaneers defense. Mm. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense is 27th in points scored.
Yep.
The Bucs defense is 7th in points allowed. So let's just flip this around, ladies and gentlemen. Mm. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, Tom Brady was 7th in points scored, and the defense was 27th in points allowed.
Yep.
They would kill the defense.
Mm.
But it's the flip side, and they're still blaming the defense. Mm. The Buccaneers' defense are showing the warts from earlier.
I haven't seen anybody blame the defense.
Well, Skip, this
I haven't.
You need to read NFL.com.
Well, I just see everybody blaming the offense as they should have.
I'm going to give you a turn. I'm going to turn it over to you. But right now, let me have the floor. So, in other words, Tom Brady is 18th in QBR.
Mm-hmm.
He's 15th in touchdown passes.
Yep.
He's 13th in completion percentage.
Yep.
He's 22nd on third down.
Mm-hmm.
Hold up. Yesterday, they were 4-15 on third down.
They were horrible.
Now, normally, when the Buccaneers offensively are greater than a stat, it's all because of Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're terrible in these stats. Well, Mike Evans can't get separation. Chris Godwin is a shell of himself.
Yep.
Julio Jones is not the Julio Jones we know. The offensive line is terrible,
mm-hmm.
although they've given up the second fewest sacks in the NFL. They've given up 17 sacks. The NFL average is 27. So they're 10 sacks below the NFL average.
Yep.
But you know, you make every mm-hmm. excuse. It's the defense.
Mm-hmm.
It's the offensive coordinator, Byron Leftwich.
Mm-hmm.
It's everybody except what you see before your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady. Hey, DJ, drop that track. I want to show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even like to give copy because if people saw the game yesterday, they saw what I'm about to show.
Okay.
That is Tom Brady, the marksman. Woo, he's right on the money.
Yep, that was a bad throw.
Oh, really?
That was his worst throw of the day.
Oh, here it is again. Yep. Just to make sure y'all saw it.
Yep.
Because when Skip, when he made this show, oh, gee, ping, ping, I see no loss of velocity. This could have ended it right here.
Yeah.
Look at it right here. Mike Evans got a step. Whoop.
Yeah. Oh, did we see that? Did you see what happened early in that round?
No. I see what happened right now.
The DB grabbed his jersey and held on.
Boop, boop.
Why wasn't that pass interference on the
right
deep
here.
Mike Evans?
What about this throw, Skip?
Yeah. You knew that's two? Bashaud Perriman, what was he doing in the game?
Whoa!
He got one target late in the game. What was he in the game
he
for?
He threw the ball behind him.
Huh.
He threw the seat.
I don't think that's that far behind him. The DB made a hellacious break on
the
that
ball out in front where it's supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
Let me ask you a question. So why was Bashaud Perriman in the game last year when he caught the game winning against Buffalo?
Mm-hmm.
That's the same Bashaud you see. When things go well, you
he
never
actually
blame
caught the game winner against
Buffalo.
New Orleans at New Orleans
okay,
this year.
So why was he in the game?
I don't know.
Oh.
All of a sudden, he just pops up out of nowhere. That's the only play he played in the whole game.
So let me get this right. So Julio was there.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Evans was there. Chris Godwin was there.
Yeah.
You got your guy Vaughn came back.
Mm-hmm.
White was back. Everybody was back. So what excuse do you have for Tom Brady
mm-hmm.
for playing like a stir fry again?
None. Zero. Tell me when it's my
turn. It's your turn.
Thank you. Here we go. All right. Scale of 1 to 10, how bad would this loss? It was an absolute 10. If I could go higher, I would go higher because this was as bad and sad a loss as Tom Brady has suffered late in his career, As bad and sad a loss as he has ever suffered late in his career for Tom Brady. And much of it goes on him, but there was nothing to like about the whole team because I thought after they had beaten the Rams, thanks to Tom Brady, and after they had beaten the Seahawks when they were riding high, thanks to a new way to attack where they actually ran the football and everybody's raving about Rashad White as the new revelation. He is a breakthrough. Not yesterday, because once again, they couldn't run a lick.
Skip, he had 14 carries for 64 yards.
Okay,
that's 4.6 a carry.
Guess how much they had in the second half? How many do you have in the second half? Help me out. Oh, wait, they had total 30 yards rushing in the second half. Would you believe one of those was a 15-yarder? So, wait a second. They had 8 tries for 15 total yards other than one 15-yard
well,
rush.
How much
they couldn't run a lick in the second half because they can't win the line of scrimmage. They couldn't win it on offense. They couldn't win it on defense. Would you believe that Cleveland rushed for 189 yards?
Yeah.
What is that about? That's horrendously bad, and that is on the defense. Even you would have to agree that's on the defense. If you start to approach 200 yards rushing, I thought that was their calling card. I thought they could stop the run, but they couldn't stop it at all. So what did I see yesterday? I saw Cleveland win the toss and say, we'll take the football. And guess what they did? They ran it right down their throats. They went 78 yards in 7 plays.
Yeah.
78 and 7 to open the game against that defense.
Right.
So does the defense get any blame for that? Well, sure it does. And the last one was a 31-yard reverse, which they tricked people with that before, and I've seen them do it before, but Schwartz got loose on the reverse. I think we have it. And that was that. All of a sudden, it's 7-0, and you have let the hopeless underdog have some life at home, even though they're a 3.5-point dog, and that's it. I saw an offense and a defense that played lifeless football. I saw no urgency. I saw no championship energy. I saw, are we there yet? That's all I saw all day yesterday was, Okay, is that enough? Is that enough? Because then Brady said, okay, I got you, defense. And he takes the ball and goes right back down their throats. He goes 75 yards in 9 plays. And he actually looked like Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr. And he throws a 10-yarder to Chris Godwin, who started looking like Godwin. If we could see that throw to Godwin, this is a 10-yarder. Steps up and gets him on the cross and got it under his face. And Godwin actually runs to the camera and is screaming at the camera this about, I'm back, I'm back, I'm back. Okay, so I'm thinking, okay, so you're back to 7-all. But then all of a sudden it's 10-7 Cleveland, and finally you tie it late in the first half. And then Brady takes the ball early in the second half, and he goes 80 yards in 7 plays. And he hits help me out on this. I thought Cade Otton, I thought you liked him, right?
I do.
What happened to Cade Otton yesterday? He played 36 snaps on offense. He got no targets. How is that possible? So he throws it to that Co-Keefe, the other rookie tight end, for the touchdown. And I'm thinking, what happened? I thought Cade Otton was making big plays for you. And by the way, to your point about our man Gronk, you kept saying, no, I think he's retired. And yesterday when I saw him on our pregame show, that's when I knew, finally, once and for all, because he said, yeah, I'm going to see you guys in a couple of weeks in L.A. I'm going to be on the set with you. And when I heard that, I'm like, well, that's the end of that deal, right?
Yeah.
He is definitely retired.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's no Gronk, and then yesterday there was no Cade Otton, and I don't get it. I have no idea. How could you not feature him after all the big plays that he has made? So all of a sudden, Brady drives down and hits Co-Keefe for the little 5-yard touchdown, and it's 17-10 visiting team, and you think, okay, 7:41 left in the third quarter. Don't you have to step on their throat, right?
Yeah.
Don't you have to say, okay, let's drive this home. Let's take it all the way home. And they just take their foot off the gas on both sides of the ball. Like, is that enough? Are you guys going to quit now? No, they're not going to quit, because Jacoby Brissett, who sort of interned under Tom Brady, he was an apprentice under Tom Brady, he knew this might be his last start and maybe in his career, given what's coming with Deshaun Watson, obviously. And he was gunned up, man. He's going to play his tail off against Tom Brady. And he did. From that point on, they started slowly but surely to take complete control of the game. And by the way, there were two issues. They had two instances. They had a 4th-and-2 at the 37 with 12:41 left in the fourth quarter. The Bucs had the ball. And you could go for that, right? And nope, Todd Bowles said, I'm going to trust my defense to hold on here. Let's punt. Well, that's Brady, and that's how little trust that I think he has in Brady or the offense at that point.
So let me ask you a question. Now, we're not talking, like you say, we're not talking about history. We're talking about this year. Mm-hmm. What reason does he have to trust Brady?
Doesn't trust him at all.
Based on this game, what have you seen? Okay, would you have trusted him?
No, I guess not. If you ask me, I'm going to put the ball in his hand.
But they put, guess what?
Okay, but they didn't think that Cleveland had any life left in it, because there's also another play, 4th-and-3 at the Cleveland 48 with 6:54 left, and they just punt it and say, let's punt it and play defense. And they think, well, Tom will do something great. We'll have one drive.
Yeah.
They had the ball 4 more times after they went ahead 17-10. And
no, they had the ball 7 more times after that.
Okay, I got 4 in a row. I got 4 in a row before they did anything.
No, they had the ball 7 more times.
I got 4 punts when they're up 17-10.
After the third quarter pass, they gave them the lead. Bucs had the ball 7 more times. 6 of those possessions resulted in a punt.
Okay.
The 7th ended in regulation.
Okay.
3 and outs.
Okay, well, we're about to get to the end of what happened at the very end. So at the end of here comes Cleveland with the ball. If we can see the throw to Njoku, this is 4th-and-10 at the 12. How can you not stop this play? 4th-and-10 at the 12.
He made a great play.
4th-and-10
at the 12. He made a great play, Skip.
But here's the big problem with this.
Cover 2.
As they are threatening, Todd Bowles has 3 timeouts and he uses no timeouts. So Brady gets the ball back with 32 seconds left, okay?
Yeah.
So you wouldn't you try to maybe use a couple timeouts? If you've got the greatest comeback artist in the history of pro football, you've got the GOAT at quarterback, wouldn't you use maybe a couple of your timeouts just to give him a minute and a half maybe, or a minute 20, or a minute, at least a minute? They use no timeouts, and all of a sudden, with 32 seconds left, they get the ball back, and Brady checks it down to Rashad White, who catches it and only goes for 1 yard. I think we have that play.
Yeah.
And they don't call a timeout. Why wouldn't you call a timeout?
Well,
help me out.
Well, I'm just saying, why would you check the ball down?
Okay, because you think you're going to call a timeout, and you don't. Nothing gets called, so it goes all the way down to 8 seconds left, and guess what he does with the next play? Here's the next play. Well, that's the check down. Okay, so now what's the next play? Brady makes good throw. I think this is pretty good. Does this look like vintage Brady to you? I think that's pretty sweet. That's a cover two shot, a whole shot in the on the cover two, right? And all of a sudden you got the ball, but you don't have any time left, right? Because you haven't used any of your timeouts. Who goes to overtime with all three timeouts in their back pocket? I mean, nobody does. What's that all about? Help me out. It's like everybody's losing. The coaching staff is losing. The defense is losing. And especially Tom Brady is losing, right?
Because Tom Brady in the fourth quarter was 4-10 for 41 yards.
Okay.
In the overtime, he was 5-10 for 37 yards.
Okay, now let's look at the overtime, shall we? Okay, so you showed the one play, the deep throw to Mike Evans early. It's 9:41 left in overtime. I think it's the second and fourth, the 31. And I don't know if we're going to have this, but the DB just reaches out and holds on to the back of his jersey. And I thought that was just an automatic call. I thought it's automatic pass interference. I don't think we're going to see it. He had already just grabbed, he reached out and grabbed a hold of his jersey. They had the one angle on TV that you could see better. But he had just grabbed the back of his jersey and held him early in the route.
Okay,
so that should have been pass interference, but it was uncalled. Now we've got the escape play. Brady made one good athletic play in this game, and it's third and four at the 47. This could have won the game right here because he escapes and flips it left-handed. He shovel passes it left-handed to Rashad White, and it goes for 10 yards, except here it is.
Hands to the face.
Yep, hands to the face.
Smith.
See, now you're in business. Now you just might at least be able to get a field goal out of this and win the game. And instead, the flag had already flown behind him because Donovan Smith got one hand up on, Miles Garrett, who was taking over the game, even though he's got a busted shoulder. Okay, now for the mystery play of the game, if anybody can explain this to me, you're way ahead of me because I can't explain this one. But we get to second and nine at the 39-yard line. This is 3:42 left in overtime, and he throws a deep ball to Mike Evans, and I have no idea that's not it. We got a deeper throw to Mike Evans. I don't think we got the right play. Oh, shoot. We don't have the right play. All right. He throws one to Mike Evans, and it is here. Okay, now we got it. Okay, help me out. What did Mike Evans not see the football? Did he think he was already fouled? Did he think he'd been interfered with? I mean, that's about as catchable a ball for Mike Evans as I've ever seen. All he has to do is run through the football, and I think it's a home run. I don't know. It's like he didn't even see the football. Can you throw it much better than that to that guy? He's 6 feet, 5 inches tall, and I'm saying, what just happened? Help me out. That's the football game. That's it right there. You win the football game if you just reach up. It's right there. You just keep running. I think he lost it in the lights or something. I don't know. Help me out. No, you're in the Hall of Fame. I need to know. Explain it.
Skip.
I mean, can you throw a football much better than that?
Skip, Tom Brady's not playing
well. Okay, no, help me out. I need you to respond to that play.
See, what you try to do.
But that's a game winner.
Okay, no, but see what you do.
I'm not doing anything. No, I'm asking you a question.
I'm trying to explain it to you. Okay. You take one throw. Well, what about
the throw? That's the throw for the game.
Okay, what about the
that's a game throw. What happened?
What about the other throw?
Okay.
So that game came down to one throw.
Okay, that wipes it all.
Tom Brady isn't playing well, and you don't want to say that.
Okay, I just told you he played terrible.
No, not just this game, the entire year.
No, he hasn't. They just won two straight games thanks to him. He was sensational.
Skip, they won two games.
Okay.
Really?
And they had their bye week, and I thought poised for takeoff, and now they're going nowhere slowly.
So let me ask you a question. So what am I supposed to do about these numbers? So these are not one number.
Okay, I hear all that. He's been going through a lot of things.
No, like you tell me.
Okay,
everybody's going through something. Let's just talk about Tom on the football field.
I got it. They have been a bad football team. Because now, when I look back at what happened,
it was Tampa Bay.
Okay.
Now it's they. Okay. It's never Tom. It's always when it goes bad, they. When they win, it's Tom Brady.
So,
it's never they.
So here's what happened. So they lost at home to a Green Bay that's now 4-8. That's
scored
a
12
loss.
Points. Tell the people at home how many points they scored.
I think I'm talking.
Okay, they scored 12 points. They scored 12
points. They lost at Pittsburgh, who's now 3-7.
Scored 18 points.
They lost at Carolina, which is now 4-8.
Scored 3 points.
I don't even know how they're 4-8.
I think they scored 3 points.
And then they lost yesterday to a Cleveland that came into the game at 3-7. That's just bad football, bad football, bad football, bad football. And now they might have lost Tristan Wirfs. They said that the x-rays were negative. But it looked like on that same play that you can't explain to me about why Mike Evans didn't just reach up and catch the football, on the very same play, they lost Tristan Wirfs to a freakish injury on a blitzer that got knocked into him. And I don't know. They're hopeful that it's not going to be as bad, but if the knee is sprained, he's going to be gone for three 3 or 4 weeks.
Okay, so tell me, Mr. Guy has been covering the sport for 40 years. Yep. Why haven't Tom Brady scored more than 22 points? Explain that, Mr. 40-year analyst.
Okay, so here's my question to you. Are you saying...
No, explain that. Explain that.
Well, I've been explaining it to you all
year. No, you didn't.
Okay, you have two new offensive linemen, one who's never played center and one a left guard who's now hurt and out. So now you have some undrafted...
Are they throwing the ball?
You have an undrafted guy at left guard, so they haven't been able to protect Brady like they have.
He's been the second fewest in the NFL. Okay. He's the second fewest.
Not until Seattle game at Munich did they have their starting wide receivers together. No. That's the first game they had Julio plus Godwin plus Mike Evans. First game. So you asked me 40 years how to I just explained it to you.
Now you have to explain to me.
The greatest clutch player in the history of the sport is Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr., and you can't argue out of that one because you'll be wrong. Here's the point. He makes a throw to Mike Evans, and it's right there. It's going to win the football game. It's going to be over. All you have to do is catch it. Skip. And guess what? He loses it in the lights. That's the story of the year.
But you can't explain to me why that happened. Has he been the greatest clutch player this year? Mm-hmm. You keep living in the past.
Boy,
Let's talk about this year.
Yeah.
Against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Against Green Bay. He scored 12. He scored 18.
Green Bay, he was incredibly clutch.
How? He scored 12 points.
He drove him 80 yards for the time touchdown.
No, there wasn't no time touchdown. Okay. They needed a two-point conversion. Okay. They lost.
He said, snap me the ball.
Lost.
They got a delay.
They lost.
They got a delay.
Let me ask you a question. So who does that go on?
All right. So are they done? Are they done?
Nice, they're done.
Okay.
They're done.
And
now
wait, I need you on record.
What?
Is he washed up?
Skip.
Is he washed?
All I'm saying, the numbers. Look at the numbers.
I got the numbers. You keep throwing the numbers.
I don't care if he's done. He playing bad.
Okay.
He playing bad.
Is he washed?
Hey, you saw what I saw.
No. If you had any guts, you'd say he's washed.
I don't got to say anything.
Okay.
People see what they
guts?
See. They see what
no
they
guts,
see.
No glory.
No, I want you to tell me.
Okay.
You told me he's going to win the MVP. You told me he's going to throw for all these yards.
Yeah.
What is he doing right now?
Guess what? Going into this season at age 45, would you believe his peers in this league? All of his peers voted him the best player in the league. In the whole league.
You told me that anytime they vote somebody else other than a quarterback, you say the players don't know anything.
Yeah.
They only know something when they vote your guy
number one. They knew who could play, and they knew who had the year last year. It was
Tom Brady. This should be even more an indictment on him. He was the number one voted player by the players, and he's looking like stir fry.
Yep, and yet here we go, and they've got New Orleans on Monday night.
Okay,
I think they can win that game.
You thought they could win against Cleveland?
I think they can win the last two games against Carolina and Atlanta.
You thought that against Green Bay?
I think they're going to win three more games to get to 8-9. That's what their closing record is going to be. And I think it might be good enough to win the division.
But how many times? But you said you thought they could win this game. You thought they could beat Green Bay.
Absolutely did.
Okay.
Yes.
So you've been wrong.
No, I've been terribly wrong about them.
Okay.
But you picked the Rams to win it all.
Whoa, you picked
the worst team to win it all.
Skip.
Interesting.
You make it seem like they're 10-1. Wow. You like they're the Eagles.
Wait, you picked the Chargers.
Are they the Eagles? Are they the Eagles?
I picked the Bengals to win the AFC.
Are the Eagles?
I like the Bengals.
I like the Bengals.
The Bucs narrowly clinging to a slight lead in the NFC South.
Next
up for them, a divisional showdown on Monday Night Football with the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
All right, speaking of upsets, Lamar not holding back on Twitter after Baltimore goes down to the Jaguars. We'll give you all the details on the other side of this break. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens falling to the Jaguars yesterday, 28-27, one-point game. After the contest, Lamar responded to a fan on Twitter who says the Ravens should spend their money on a well-rounded team instead of giving Jackson a big contract. In a now-deleted tweet, Lamar responded, telling the fan to, quote, shut the F up. He also called him an effer who doesn't know football. Shannon, is this a bad look? And if so, how bad of a look is it for Lamar?
What is a bad look? It's a headache that he created that he didn't need to have. And this is what I would tell, because I don't like to speak to Lamar, because Lamar take offense and think you're trying to tell him something. So I'm going to let him continue to listen to all those people that say, let Lamar live his life. But I'm talking to the guys that want to listen and have and stay out of harm's way, Skip. Give yourself social media. Give yourself a 24-hour break. Especially if you lose a game. Because, Skip, you know they used to tell us all the time, give yourself a 30-minute cool-down period. Before you speak to the media, take 30 minutes to cool down, gather your thoughts to make sure you don't say something that you're going to later regret. I would tell anybody that plays a professional sport, stay off of social media, especially if you lose the game, especially if you play bad, because there's going to be somebody out there looking to goad you and to say something that you might regret. Now, he's taken down, he's deleted this post, which lets you know that he knew he was wrong and he shouldn't have done it. But the guy, and look, the fact of the matter, the kicker, Justin Tucker, is the best kicker you can make a case, the greatest kicker of all time. And the games, unfortunately, will come down. Tom Brady won a lot of Super Bowls because the kickers were clutch. He's won a lot of playoff games. So to say the game shouldn't come down, the game comes down to how it comes down. And it's nice to have a Justin Tucker that you can trot on the field. Had the field goal attempt been 65 yards, I believe it would have been good. But it was 67 yards.
I don't think he caught it flush.
He hit it pretty good, Skip. He got all that 175
yards. Highly capable of making that.
But, Skip, I mean, but you have to understand that 66 that he hit, it was indoors.
I got it.
Now, so you're outdoors, the element, maybe a little slight breeze or anything. Yeah. So that's, I mean, for him to know this thing, that's below sea level at Jacksonville.
Yeah. Yep.
But that being said, Skip, he was already agitated because remember he cursed at a reporter in his press conference, Skip, when they asked him that the last time he came to Jacksonville, he lost his last bowl game. Yep. So he's already agitated. He's already feeling some type of way. And then somebody that has 153 followers looking to get the reaction that he got.
I can't believe he has 153, but go ahead.
He looking to get a reaction out of Lamar.
Well, he did.
And Lamar fell into it, Skip. And that's what I've tried to tell, and I've tried to like relate to Lamar. Bro, I understand that you're a young guy. Skip, March of 2019, he's in his vehicle showing his bracelet, but he's showing his speed arm and he's going 105 miles an hour. I'm saying, come on, Lamar. He's playing beach football. He trips over the jet ski, heads first. I'm saying, come on, Lamar. You got so much to lose. And all these people, Lamar, let me explain something to you, bro. And Skip, I'm going to turn it over to you. All these people that's telling you to let you live your life, they don't have anything to lose, Lamar. You got $300 million right there waiting.
Right there.
Just, hey. You didn't have to do this, Lamar. Just let discretion be the bell of parlor valor. Chalk this up as a lesson learned. Hopefully you don't have to learn too many lessons like this, but give yourself 24 hours from the social media when you lose a ball game or you don't play particularly well. Because that way you don't get into your feelings. Because when you put the kind of time that he's put into it, it hurts when you lose.
Okay, so what happened in the game? Lamar was extraordinary down the stretch of this game. If we could see real quick what he did, you know, the throw to Deshaun was such a big one to start it off with. This is 63 yards to guess who?
D-Jack can still run.
He can still run. He can still catch. Still run past people.
Yes.
And here comes Lamar again with the touchdown pass to Oliver. And they go for two. And it's Lamar to guess who? His
favorite,
Mark Andrews, who bullies it in. And here we go. And you think 27-20, that should do it, right?
Right.
But Trevor Lawrence had other ideas. And here he comes, and there they went. And then they go for two, and I admire Dougie P.
It seems like everybody's going for two these days. You saw the Chargers go for two yesterday against Arizona.
And Trevor Lawrence threw an absolute laser to what's his name?
Christian Kirk or Marvin Jones?
No, it's
Zay Jones?
Zay Jones, yeah. Hit him right on the hands, on the button with the two-point shot. And that was that.
Yes.
Okay, so Lamar is devastated. So I've said before, back in my days, other places, I've watched social media destroy people that I worked with. It can be just a trap door for people to fall through.
A blessing and a curse.
And here we go with Lamar responding to some nobody. And it wasn't even a personal shot the guy was taking. He was just saying, let Lamar walk and spend the money on a well-rounded team. Well, that's not all that, okay? Just some guy saying that. But wrong place, wrong time, wrong emotion, because I'm sure he was just burning through his soul that Lamar played great down the stretch. He didn't play great in the game.
Well, they got to do a better job of getting in the red zone, Skip. That's what killed him yesterday.
They did. Okay, I got it. And he was asked a lot after the game about the red zone. So he's got the red ass, as they say.
Correct.
And then here we go. You cannot do this to the extent that you did it because this is, to your point, we're talking about 300 guaranteed million, at least 250 guaranteed million.
Mm-hmm.
You are supposed to be the face of the franchise, and you fire back personally at this guy, and not to even mention that some, if not many, in the gay community are not going to be real pleased with what he tweeted.
Yeah.
And we got all kinds of things going on because it's about as low as you can go. It's childish is what it is. It's just flat out. It's so immature. And you know Steve Bisciotti, and he's just going to sit back and say, now I'm supposed to pay him $300 guaranteed million to be the face of my franchise, right. And you stoop to this? You are Lamar freaking Jackson. You are an MVP in right. this league. You are the sun and the moon for our franchise. You are the driving force of our franchise. And you would stoop to fire back with that on social media after a game? It's just immature is what it is.
Skip, and the thing is, if you look at it, Skip, they were 2 of 5 in the red zone.
Yep.
They were 1 for 3 with goal to go. Because Lamar, you have to look. Lamar, you're going to have to put more on your plate. Because your defense, you've seen your defense give up 21-point lead, a 17-point lead, a 10-point lead,
yep.
and now a 17-point lead and a 2-point conversion to lose the ball game. So now you're going to have to be even more
yep.
because your defense can't hold a lead. For whatever reason, Skip, for whatever reason, their defense is letting them down again in that situation. Because Lamar Jackson, Skip, if you look at the numbers, Skip, he was 8 of 14 on third down.
Yep.
That's 57%. They had 415 yards. He didn't turn the ball over.
No. Nope.
So.
No, he played certainly well enough to win the football game.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
And he knew it.
He knew it. But don't take it personal, Lamar. Don't take it personal. Yeah, he took a, let Lamar walk and get a well-rounded team. What quarterback you think you're going to get for $10 million a year and go win a Super Bowl?
It's just some guy. And he's upset, too. He's just some fan who's upset, right?
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
But Lamar, stop listening to people talk about let Lamar live. He let Lamar make that money. It's people that say let Lamar make the money that ain't making no money and don't have anything to lose. Mm. Stop listening to those people, Lamar. Mm.
Whew. Wise advice, Shannon. John Harbaugh is scheduled to meet with the media this afternoon. He will surely be asked about this.
Yes, absolutely.
The Ravens now in a tie with the Bengals for the AFC North. All right, coming up, speaking of Harbaughs, let's talk about Jim Harbaugh Ooh. In Michigan. Did they take the next step in college football this past Ooh. Weekend? Skip and Shannon weigh in when we come back. Yes, Michigan looked more than impressive this past weekend, rolling Ohio State 45-23. The Wolverines have now won the past 2 games against Ohio State by a combined 37 points. Shannon, is Jim Harbaugh now the best coach in college football?
Hell no, not even close. Stop it. Mm. Nick Saban is the best coach. His team just won 10 games for the 15th straight season. Mm. No other coach. You name a college coach, and no other college coach can say that. Mm. Dabo Sweeney. So we're just going to look. Dabo's having a down year, and he's lost 2 games. He's won the national championship, 2 national championship, and he's gone to the college football playoff 5 or 6 times. Mm. Kirby Smart. So he's better than Kirby? Kirby just had back-to-back undefeated seasons in the toughest conference in college football, the SEC. Mm. Won the national championship last year. Mm. And Stankin' Lincoln.
Mm.
He ain't going in front of Stankin' Lincoln.
Really?
I am.
Boy, he can coach some defense, old Stankin' Lincoln.
Congratulations, John Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh, for making the rivalry to bring it back. Because before last year, he had been 0 for 5 against the Buckeyes. Mm. It wasn't a rivalry because the Buckeyes was wiping the floor with him every year.
Mm.
Last year, they lost in the college football playoff to Kirby Smart's team 35-11. Mm. They were 2-4 in 2020. Okay, got it. Lost 35-16 to Alabama in the Citrus Bowl. Mm. Lost 41-15 to Florida in the Peach Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Lost 26-19 to Carolina in the Outback Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Lost 33-32 to Florida State in the Orange Bowl.
Mm.
They beat Florida 41-7 in 2015.
Mm.
Skip, stop this.
Mm.
We didn't ask this 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Now he beats Ohio State. He did a thump job on them. Give him credit. He did a thump job. He literally ran them off the field. Nobody, not even a sane person, maybe an insane person, would think Jim Harbaugh is a better coach than Nick Saban.
Really? Okay.
Or Dabo, or Kirby, or Stegen Langer Riley.
Okay, so here we go. So I've tried to remind you before that Jim Harbaugh started his coaching career at the University of San Diego, which was in the doldrums, and he went 29-6 there. Then he went to Stanford, which was down at that point. In his last year at Stanford, he went 12-1 and won the Orange Bowl. Then he went straight to the 49ers, and he took them to 3 straight NFC championship games and 1 Super Bowl because he went to Colin Kaepernick in midstream. That Colin Kaepernick threw a pass that should have been called pass interference on Crabtree, and they should have won that Super Bowl. So that was one that got away. But he went to 3 straight NFC championship games. So he did something on the pro level that none of those other guys have ever done on the pro level.
No. Saban, well, you said who the best college coach? You said best college football coach.
You know, we're kind of looking at overall coach.
Okay.
So, again, he proved that he could do it at the highest level. And then now that he's turned it around, now that he's finally got a quarterback at Michigan, because he never had one before, or one that could stand up to his berating and his hard teaching, because he is hard on quarterbacks.
Yes, he is.
He was a pretty good quarterback himself. But J.J. McCarthy, he loves like a son, and J.J. warms up to him, and he warms back up to J.J. They go into the Ohio State the other day, and Blake Corum was a leading Heisman candidate, and he tried to go early in the game because he had taken a helmet to the knee in the previous game against Illinois. He could not go. If I told you going into that game that Blake Corum couldn't go, you would have laughed at their chances, because Ohio State went right down the field and scored, and it was 7-0. So now Jim Harbaugh has to do something with J.J. McCarthy that nobody thought he could do, because they say J.J. McCarthy can't throw, and he certainly can't throw deep, right? Mm-hmm. Well, he threw deep against the Ohio State, didn't he?
Yep.
And here comes Donovan Edwards, who has a cast on his right hand, and he goes 22 times for 216 yards and two touchdowns of 75 and 85 yards. And they pull off something that I thought was virtually impossible. Definitely impossible after the opening drive. At 7-0, I thought it was going to be 49-0 Ohio State. And Jim Harbaugh has those kids believing in Jim Harbaugh. And again, they lost Aiden Hutchinson last year in Ajabo, so it looked like they didn't have near the pass rush. And he is coaching the fire into this team is what he's doing, because this was a coaching job.
Skip, I'm not
45-23.
Skip, I'm not saying that he didn't do an excellent job. He's done a great job to follow it up. But Skip, remember, he was spending more time overseas than he was in spending in Indy, where the Big Ten championship is being played. Mm-hmm. So he hadn't gone there until last year. So give him credit for that. But we do realize Nick Saban has 7 national championships. Okay. You do know he won a national championship at LSU, left that team, I forget who the guy was. They won a national championship with his teammate, Les Miles. Mm. Won a national championship with the players that Nick Saban recruited. Nick Saban has won everywhere in college that he won. Now, he didn't have the success. They should have took Drew Brees. They flunked Drew Brees on his physical and took Dante Culpepper, who had blown out his knee. How close they came. Because we all know, Skip, without a quarterback in the NFL, now you could coach around it in college. You ain't coaching around that in the NFL. Not in today's game.
Can coach around it in college at the highest level. And he did get to the national semifinal last year and ran into Georgia, who's going to win it all.
Nick Saban went to the college football playoff with Blake Sims as a starting quarterback.
He did.
Who was a running back, who was a wide receiver, who was a defensive back. And for his senior year, they put him in at quarterback, and he got to the college football playoff.
Yep.
So Nick Saban is the... You're talking about he's better than Nick Saban. Nick Saban's just the greatest college coaching ever, ever.
Some people think Nick's losing his fastball, and Jim is gaining his fastball.
Skip, the man has won 10 straight games for 15 straight years.
Okay.
7 national titles.
I think Jim Harbaugh has quirky genius about him. I think he can really coach.
Let me ask you a question. Do you believe Michigan would fire Jim Harbaugh to take Nick Saban? Or do you believe Alabama would fire Nick Saban to take Jim Harbaugh? Mm-hmm. Now, I believe the first is true. I believe Michigan would dismiss Jim Harbaugh to get Saban as their head coach.
I do not think that. I really don't. I know a lot of Michigan people. I think they love Jim Harbaugh.
If you like winning a couple of games, winning 12 games and beating Ohio State.
Okay.
But if you want a national championship, the man is still coaching and got a statue out front. How many people can say that?
I don't know.
I'm not talking about that mannequin that Dan Snyder put up there and talking about that was Sean Taylor.
And that was embarrassing.
Somebody stole that from Dick's and dressed him never mind. But anyway, Skip. I'm going to be nice. I say he's the fifth best coach. Maybe. That's between him and Brian Kelly.
He is coaching at the highest level right now.
But do you believe he's better than Nick Saban, Dabo, Kirby Smart, or Stegelinger?
Right now, I do. Both sides of the ball, I do.
Stop it, Skip. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Nope.
Stegelinger got you in your feelings.
You want it back?
The 49ers, guys.
Oh, tell some of them oil bears.
I give you bonus points. I like the description. Quirky genius.
I bet you would take
Caleb
back.
We got to leave this one here, guys. Moving on, talking about the Jets when Undisputed returns. Oof. Did they just find themselves a new starting quarterback this weekend? Skip and Shannon unpack that question when we come back. Mike White starting in place of Zach Wilson. Woo! He leads the Jets to a 31-10 win over the Bears. White finishes with over 300 yards passing, 3 touchdowns in the victory. Shannon, has Zach Wilson lost his starting job now to Mike White?
Yeah, this is Mike White's job for the foreseeable future, at least until this year, Skip. He did a great job. He got guys involved. If you look at the offense and how it looked compared to what it looked like with Zach Wilson, it looked night and day different. Garrett Wilson and Moore had their best games in week. Hell, Moore was asking to be traded. He's like, man, they can't give me the ball. Why am I just decoying?
Now he's crawling.
Skip, did you see everybody how excited they were after the game?
Yep.
I mean, they were talking about like they had just won. They know they didn't win the Super Bowl. It's like, man, we got a chance. Because of the receiver, Skip, I want to win. But at least I want a chance. If I go out there and run a good route, the guy can get me the ball. He's not going to skip it to me. He's not going to throw it 10 feet over my head.
Yep.
These guys see, and you want a quarterback that guys are excited about playing with. You know, you can't force no guy. Skip, they tried to force Zach Wilson on him. You can't force it. Mm-hmm. You can't force it. It's just got to happen organically. Mm-hmm. And right now, they believe in Mike White. Skip, Mike White, two of his four games, he's only started four games, but two of them he's thrown for 300 yards. Mm-hmm. And you look at the way he was throwing the football in those conditions, Skip, it wasn't like it was 75 and sunny.
No. Nope.
And he was spinning like he was in a phone booth.
He did.
I'm sorry, Zach. You know, you might have to go cougar hunting again, but you ain't getting that job back unless Mike White, something unforeseen, and knock on wood. Hopefully that doesn't happen, Skip. But this kid looked good yesterday. Mm. I know it was Chicago, Skip. Now, I don't want to put too much.
That's the issue. It was one of the worst defenses in football, and Chicago lost Justin Fields, obviously. And before the game, it looked like they'd lost Trevor Siemian.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, he took a shot and decided to play. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we keep that in perspective. But I think the Jets are blessed in one big way, because usually if you take a high pick quarterback and he starts to bust on you, you don't have a plan B.
Right.
Like, what, you got some Joe Flacco backup, and it's like, well, what are we doing here?
Well, they do got Flacco.
Huh? Well, they do. That's what I'm saying. They do have
Flacco. They got Flacco.
Okay, but the point is that their plan B is actually a pretty good plan A, because the Cowboys took this kid in the fifth round, and the only reason he's not a Cowboy right now is because of Cooper Rush.
Skip, you remember his first start? He threw for like 400 yards in his first start for the Jets.
Last year?
Yes.
No, he did, against Cincinnati, who was on its way to the Super Bowl, right? So the point is, all of a sudden, Zach Wilson becomes your plan B. You're okay. You can get out from under this. This wasn't a fatal mistake to draft Zach Wilson, because all of a sudden you fell into a fifth rounder who got discarded by the Dallas Cowboys for a reason, because we saw how good Cooper Rush could be as a backup.
But, Skip, I think the thing is, is that you go from starting to wearing a hoodie on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
Skip, that's damning.
Oh, is it?
Skip, I mean, come on now. I can understand saying, no, he's not going to start this week, but he's going to be serve as the backup. You go from starting to not even dressing.
Okay. And yet, what did Salah say after the game? He made the easy look easy. He was the master of the obvious. Well, that's what Zach Wilson hasn't been, because he threw for 77 yards the last game against New England because he made it look so hard.
Sometimes, Skip, you can fall in love. You can make a throw and everybody crow and hoot and holler, and then you try to do that and replicate that instead of just doing the mundane and the routine.
Yep.
And then when you have to make the extraordinary, make the extraordinary. But more times than not, the routine's going to get it done.
Yep. And then C.J. Mosley said that Mike White was electric. Well, I never heard anybody say Zach Wilson was electric.
No.
Zach Wilson has talent. He's got a nice arm, and he's athletic. He's more athletic than Mike White.
Yes.
Mike White's 6 feet, 5 inches tall, so he's prototypical pocket passer with a really nice arm.
But, Skip, the defense said, you know what? We don't have to hold somebody to 10 points every damn time in order for us to win a ball game.
No.
That gets very difficult, because you keep going three and out, and I don't care how great your defense is, eventually they will begin to buckle. They will begin to give up those plays that you're like, well, what happened to the defense? They're tired. That's what happened to your defense. They're tired.
And they're tired of looking at that.
Yeah. I don't think Mike White's giving his job back up this year.
I don't either.
Of interesting new quarterback decisions lately, guys. Mike White, Taylor Heineke, and then, of course, Sam Darnold. Speaking of which, have the Broncos finally hit a boiling point for
this
quarterback season
in Carolina right
That's
now.
Coming up next, right here on FS1. Well, the Broncos' offense continues to struggle. They put up only 10 points in a loss to the Panthers yesterday. I covered this game. It was tough. To make matters worse, defensive tackle Mike Purcell was seen walking to the sideline and yelling at Russell Wilson during this game. Shannon, you played for the Broncos. Was this a big deal or not a big deal?
Well, I mean, it happened. The frustrations are starting to boil over. That never happened when I was there, Skip. I think the level what's happened is that the greater the expectation, the more the frustration is going to become. And they got a quarterback because they said, oh, it was the quarterback. We had Trevor Siemian, had Teddy Bridgewater, you had Drew Locke, you had all these guys, and none of it worked. Oh, we're going to move heaven and earth, and we got Russell Wilson. And as a matter of fact, Russell Wilson has been worse than all the quarterbacks that I just mentioned.
That is true.
And so the level of frustration is growing. Mm. And so, Skip, Russ going to have to turn this around. This is a lost cause this year. They ain't going nowhere this year. But he's going to have to get his mind right. He's going to have to come back with a new attitude, give that office up, give those parking spaces up, and re-ingratiate yourself with the team.
That is
correct. Just because you came in there with all that high-profile talk, that don't make you the leader.
Seems like the Broncos are feeling the same way about Russell Wilson as the Jets were feeling about Zach Wilson, right? And they're now letting Russell know about it, which was stunning to see live on tape, right?
Skip, he entered the game. He was 30th in QBR, one spot behind Carson Wentz, one spot ahead of Davis Mills. Guess what those guys have in common? They don't start. Russell Wilson is a starting quarterback. That was painful to watch yesterday, Skip. He's been painful to watch all year.
You're stuck.
Very
no,
true.
No, no,
the
we
only thing
stuck.
I can say in the Broncos defense
only got 70
is they have
we
been
get
hit by a rash of injuries, gentlemen. Great stuff this morning. We're out of time. Stick around for the herd, though. That's next.